Welcome to Safety Culture Excellence. This week's topic, tying incentives and rewards to lagging or leading indicators. My name is Sean Galloway, and I'm proud to be your host. Greetings from the Dumfries and Galloway region of Scotland and show number 70. Do you incentivize and reward the things that improve safety or only the lowering of accident rates and costs? Understanding the impact of incentives and rewards on leading and lagging indicators often provides insight on whether you are driving proactive or reactive approaches to safety. Sometimes, even with the best approaches, if you're not looking at both types of indicators, you might not realize it, but you might be rewarding non-productive activities and efforts. For this podcast, Terry offers his thoughts on associating incentives and rewards to leading and lagging indicators for safety. You will hear Terry reference advanced subscription-based podcasts. In the near future, we will release these advanced, action-oriented podcasts that provide experience-based guidelines on how to improve all the different facets of a safety culture. If you would like to be one of the first to have access to these tools prior to public release, please send us an email at podcast@proactsafety.com. So without further delay, here we go. So Terry, the discussion I'd like to propose for this week is, what are your thoughts? Is it more effective to tie rewards and incentives to safety lagging indicators or leading indicators? What are your thoughts?
Well, the traditional thinking in this is that the lagging indicators are what you want to accomplish, and what you reward is what gets accomplished. So attach the incentives, attach the rewards to what you really want. That's an old school of thought, though, and it goes all the way back to a management school of thought that was called MBO, Management by Objectives. And that thinking has changed pretty radically. One of the difficulties is, if you're going to move up and attach it to leading indicators, what if you attach your rewards and incentives to the leading indicators and it doesn't ultimately impact your lagging indicators, which is what you really want to accomplish? In other words, do you reward non-productive activities? That's kind of the question that comes to mind out there. So what if everybody gets to their safety meetings and everybody does their training and everybody participates in your various safety activities, whether it's committees, VPP, BBS, or whatever it is. You've got everybody participating, but it's not impacting your accident rates. Do you want to incent that? Do you want to reward that? And so very much like when we were talking about the team versus individual rewards, this may be a combination answer also, or could potentially be a combination answer. Now, again, the modern thinking on this and the proactive thinking on this is, you want to reward people, first of all, for the things that they can control, which are their own personal behaviors, their own personal activity levels and participation and other things, and that is the proactive approach to safety. There's kind of a debate out there in the world right now about, well, if you do that and it doesn't produce results, whose fault is it? Is it the fault of the individuals who are doing what you ask them to do, or is it the fault of the managers, leaders of the company who designed the process, who said, if you'll do this, it will give us what we want back here on the back end? Well, without weighing in on the placing blame part of that little discussion, let's talk about what really makes incentives effective. What really makes them work? First of all, like the team versus individual, when you base the incentive strictly on the outcome, two bad things can potentially happen. Number one, people artificially manipulate the outcome. And what we're talking about here is what we talked about in the very first of this series of podcasts, and that is that people control reporting rather than the actual occurrence of the accident. If you're going to get zinged for having an accident, don't report it. Don't let anybody know. I've got a neighbor who's a notorious speeder on the highway. His wife mentioned the other day, well, you get punished for speeding. And he said, no, you get punished for getting caught speeding. You know, so do you not speed, or do you take precautions not to get caught? Well, the same thing can happen in safety. If you say, well, if we don't have accidents, here's what you get. Well, there's two ways to not have an accident. One's by not having an accident, the other one's by not reporting it when you do. And it doesn't take workers very long to figure that out. And, you know, they're very smart with that. Well, if you tell people if you report an accident, you get zapped for it, their first thought is, well, I'm not going to report it. And that's very often the way it's presented to the workers. You know, if you report an accident, you don't get your bonus. Well, then I won't report it. You don't say, well, if you don't have an accident, you get a bonus. It's very negative, too. Think about the levels of abstraction we're talking about here. When you tell a worker, what we want you to do is not have an accident. Well, first of all, not having an accident isn't something that a worker can do. It's a result from what a worker does or doesn't do. So it's at the very least one level of abstraction away. Where we're telling people, again, this is the old MBO, management by objective. The objective is don't have an accident. So what do we want you to do? Whatever it takes to not have an accident. Well, we're wagging the dog here. This is a very reactive way, as most lagging indicators drive. They drive reactive approaches to safety. So the workers are out there trying to not have an accident rather than trying to be safe. So the argument is you reward the be safe, not the don't have an accident, on the back end. And to a large extent, that is a superior approach. Here's the question now. What are the leading indicators? What are the things that you want people to do that are going to prevent safety? Well, I know a lot of organizations that reward the workers for attending all their safety meetings, for meeting their minimum requirement for training. A lot of the organizations also have things like VPP and behavior-based safety and other initiatives that are going on out there that are largely or partly voluntary. So if you want to volunteer to be a part of these organizations, we'll reward you for that also. Now, just like lagging indicators, there are good ways and bad ways to comply. Some people volunteer to be an observer, for instance, in a BBS process, but they never do any observations. You know, so they come back and they change the incentive and say, well, we're not going to reward you unless you do your observations. So what do? They pencil whip the forms and turn them in, and they get on the computer as having done their observations. Now, I'm not advocating, and don't take this wrong, I'm not advocating that you try to make this stuff foolproof. You try to make it cheat-proof and everything, because that's a very, very difficult thing to do. But are you rewarding the behaviors or the activities or the participation, these leading indicators of safety? Are you rewarding the right things that actually get you the accident prevention? And there's another principle that comes to play in here, too, that we go into great detail in the advanced version of these podcasts. When you're rewarding the leading indicator, anytime you reward a quantity without a quality component, you not only empower pencil whipping, you actually very often encourage pencil whipping in what you do. So what you want to say, if you can attach this to leading indicators, put a quality initiative, but put a quality component into that. Don't just say, well, if you'll join a team, we'll reward you. If you'll be an active participating member of the team, we'll reward you. Not if you fill out this audit form, we'll reward you. If you do a really high quality audit, we'll reward you. You know, and one of the things that you want to do, and even in explaining this, the reward comes from the activities, but the activities are judged by their impact, by the quality and quantity of the activities, and ultimately by their impact on safety. So, what do you do? Well, very much like the last podcast, we were talking about team versus individual incentives. What I would recommend is that the vast majority of your incentives go toward leading indicators. You want to incentivize and or reward your workers for doing the things that you think will have the highest impact in preventing accidents. But have an element of this always attached to the lowering of accident rates, the lowering of severity rates, the lowering of accident costs. In other words, the lagging indicators. And what do you do when you split this way? A lot of people say, oh, you wash it down and you make it where the workers don't really know what it is you're really trying to accomplish. No, I think what you do on the other hand is you give the workers a reality check on what safety is really all about. What are we talking about here? Which activities reduce accidents? Now, if they do an activity and it doesn't reduce an accident, it doesn't reduce accidents, workers need to know that. Managers need to know it. The designers of the program need to know it. But it becomes evident to everybody. We're working very hard at this, but it's not getting us where we want to go. So, yes, we reward people for doing what we ask them to do. However, it's not producing the desired result. So that result reward doesn't come in as a part of that. So there's always an element over here of what you need to do. So do you attach, the original question was, do you attach rewards and incentives to leading indicators or to lagging indicators? And again, I think it's the same answer as the team versus individual. The majority of your rewards and incentives ought to be attached to leading indicators. You ought to reward people for doing what you want them to do in safety. However, the celebrations, the reward, the activities, the recognition of accomplishment ought to continue to be attached to the lagging indicators. When you go a certain length of time without a recordable, that's a celebration. Now, you don't pay each individual for this because that suppresses reporting. But if the whole group gets there, then there's an additional celebration. And what do you accomplish with this? Nobody's being punished and nobody is losing the reward for the whole team for what goes on. Also, one of the things I know that zero accidents ought to be the goal. It ought to be the, some people say the vision rather than the goal. It ought to be what you really want to accomplish out there. But what if you're at a 4 total recordable rate this year and you reward everybody for their activities and they go from a 4 to a 2? Do you penalize them for not getting to 0 or do you reward them for cutting your accident rates in half? I think that's a really important thing to think about. And what we're talking about here is another principle of rewards and incentives, and that is to not only reward the ultimate end of the goal, utopia, bright shining light on the hill kind of accomplishment, but reward the steps toward the accomplishment. And that's a lot of times the leading versus the lagging indicator.
Until next time, remember, in safety, prevention trumps reaction. For more information on safety culture excellence, or if you have a topic to suggest, please email us at podcast@proactsafety.com.